Thank you, ladies. Let's go to John chapter 3 this morning in your Bible. Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. I had no idea that the junior church kids were singing Jesus Loved Me and that they would quote John 3:16. That's the verse that I'm using today. Brother Bragg's a little bit under the weather, has a bad sore throat, so I'm going to read the scripture for us today. Let's stand together in the here for the reading of the Word of God. And we're going to read verses 16. I'll read verse 16 of John chapter 3. And if you'll join me on verse 17, these two verses, Gospel of John chapter 3, I'll read verse 16. And you please read with me on 17. Our Bible says this: For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Young people are bringing the special music all day today. They're doing it this morning and again tonight, all the music tonight. So after we pray and are seated, we'll have a group of young people sing for us. Our Heavenly Father, it was a joy to see that big group of kids come over and sing this morning, to hear their enthusiasm, singing those songs and quoting the Scripture. Lord, what a joy to see that. And what a joy, even greater joy, to know the reality of the love of God. So I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning. Bless the special. Prepare our hearts for the preaching to follow. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated.
One night while along life's raging sea, it looked as if I was suffered defeat. As the brightness of night closed out the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with fright. All I could see was no hope in sight. With the strength of the dawn, I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan had moved forward to put me away. I drifted so far, would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? I knew my destruction was a matter of time, but Jesus appeared and said, "This one is mine. I'm safe from the harm, for he walked through the storm and came looking for me." He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Looking for me, he came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Looking for me.
That's good. Good singing this morning. And it's a scary thing to get up in front of a crowd of adults and sing, but they did a good job. I think back to what I was doing at age 16, 15, 17, when I was a teenager, And I am thankful for these young people in their lives. Amen. Not just these, but all the ones in our church. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, no greater love story. No greater love story, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So let's pray together and we'll jump into the message. You say, man, it's about 10 minutes later than normal. That's right, it is. But I have shaved 10 minutes off my message. All right? I think. I hope. Okay? And so let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful today for your blessings. I pray now that you'll please fill us with your Spirit. Thank you for the good singing, the whole environment of the service today, the atmosphere with the young people coming over to sing. And now, Lord, just please speak to our heart through the message. I ask through your holy word, God, use it today in the power of your Spirit. I pray in Christ's name and amen. Without a doubt, the single greatest love story ever told is found in the Bible. And one of the things that makes this love story so unique and so wonderful is that it is true. It is not a fable or some fairy tale or some figment of somebody's imagination like Romeo and Juliet written by Shakespeare. I'm not against that, but just this is a true story. This love story is not like others that are written by men. Yes, this love story was written by the pen of men, but the words that are used to tell this story came from God Himself. That's what the Bible is. It is the Word of God. And that is another thing that makes this love story so unique. It involves God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 is probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. The most well-known verse in all of the Bible. If you could ask somebody, what's a familiar Bible verse? They most always would respond with John chapter 3 and verse number 16. And I believe it is one of the most well-known verses because it tells us about the greatest love story in the world. It contains the words that make up the story. Now, the verse begins by telling us that God loves people. Look at verse number 16. For God so loved the world. Now, folks, when you read that world, the word world there, God's not a tree hugger. We're not talking about the planet. Okay? The planet is under the curse of sin. Okay? And that's why typhoons come. And that's why hurricanes come. And that's why earthquakes and so forth. All right? When the word world is used there, He's not talking about the planet. He's talking about the world of people. For God so loved the world of people. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. And that's what the Scripture is telling us here. Now, God didn't just love the world of people. He so loved them. Do you see that in verse number 16? For God so loved. And there is a difference between love and so loved. A big difference. You might go out to eat somewhere, and somebody might say to you, how was it? And your response is, it wasn't just good. Your response was, it would be something like this. It was so good. You might take part in some fun activity. And somebody might ask you, did you have a good time? And you wouldn't respond by saying, it was fun. You might respond by saying, it was so much fun. So that little word, so, is important. So puts the spotlight on whatever it is, and takes it from good to great, and from great to excellent, and from excellent to beyond. And our Bible doesn't say that God loved the world. Our Bible says God so loved the world. He loved the world of people so much. And God proved that He loved the world so much by giving His Son. Look at the next phrase in the verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now, people, listen. The proof of love is in giving. The proof of love is in giving. I sometimes meet people out knocking doors, and they'll say, no, I don't want to come to church because this happened, that happened, and I just don't know if God loves me. And kindly as I can, I try to take them all the way back to the cross of Calvary and say, ma'am, sir, or a young person, if I'm talking to a young man or a young lady, I say, look, The proof of God's love for you is found 2,000 years ago on a cross of Calvary when He sent His Son Jesus to die for your sin. Now, there might have been some unpleasant and unfortunate circumstances and things take place in your life, and I'm not denying that possibly, but I want to tell you something. You don't ever have to question whether or not God loves you, friend. He proved it by sending His Son to die. I often say to our folk here on a regular basis that you can give without loving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. The proof of love is ever in the gift. And if you love somebody, you look for a way to give to them. And the Bible says that God so, He didn't just love the world, He so loved the world, and He proved it by giving His Son. Now, when what you are giving is your Son, you can give nothing greater. Parents who have gone through the horrible experience of losing a child, and that's any age, parents don't expect to have their children leave this world before them. That's not normal. And when that abnormality occurs, no matter what age it is, if it's a 2-year-old, if it's a newborn, if it's a 50-year-old, if it's a 60, if a parent loses a child, this is what they always say. I wish it would have been me. Always. I wish it would have been me. I wish it could have been me. I don't know why it couldn't have been me. Parents want their children to live, even if it means they have to give their life. Because that's how much parents love kids. And when God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for God to give His Son, really, friend, that is the ultimate proof of His love for us. What greater gift could God give than His only begotten Son? For me to give myself would not be as great as me giving my Son. Does that make sense to you all? And that's what God did. He didn't just love the world. He so loved the world. And folks, look, you know, I appreciate the animals. They look nice, but really, this is not the time to gaze at the animals. Look up here. I'm trying to help you. The animals can't do a lot for you right now. But this book can, okay? And I'm not talking to a lost person. I'm talking to a church guy, okay? So check out the animals later, okay? But anyway, God so loved the world. The parent doesn't want to go before. The parent doesn't want to give the child. The parent wants to give themselves. But God said, I so love the world that I'm going to give my Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what did God give Jesus to do? If He gave Jesus this love story, the proof of His love, what did He give Jesus to do? Well, that's where verse number 17 comes in. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. So let's stop right there. First, we're told what God did not send Jesus to do. God did not send Jesus to condemn the world of people. God did not send Jesus to condemn the red, the brown, the yellow, the black, or the white. God did not send Jesus to this world to tell people that they were sinned, that you're a sinner. God didn't send Jesus to this world to tell people that you owe the penalty of sin. God sent Jesus to the world to save the world. The world was condemned already. Look, folks, every human knows, I think deep down in their heart, every human knows that they are a sinner. I have never, ever met anybody who told me I'm not a sinner. I haven't met anybody like that. I think we know we're sinners. And I think we know that it comes from within us. Whether we want to admit it or not, it's a different story. But we know we're sinners. Nobody teaches us to lie. Nobody teaches us to disobey. Nobody teaches us to be selfish. These are things that all come from inside of us. We know that we are sinners, and we also know that we have accountability to the God who made us. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And I think that's what men fear. I think that's what women fear. I don't think men and women fear dying because we know that that's going to happen. It's but after this. What happens after you die? eventually we'll all stand before God someday. And I think for the most part, people understand that. We know we're sinners. We know we're sinners by birth. We know we're sinners by nature. We know we're sinners by choice. And because we have sinned, we are under the penalty of that sin. And that penalty is death in hell, separated from God forever and ever and ever. And there's no way for us to work our way out of that condition. God did not send Jesus down here to condemn the world. The world is already condemned. God sent Jesus down here to save the world out of condemnation. Look, if Dave Ferris was here Wednesday night, preached as Brother Luke said, and by the way, if you're struggling with a little bit of bitterness, you ought to invest in the message on Wednesday night. It was an outstanding message on the subject of bitterness. And he didn't feel well, and he was sleeping 12 hours a day. And he's younger than me. He shouldn't be sleeping 12 hours a day. And it felt like a flu-like symptom. And he said he was feeling his neck one day. And long story short, he felt a lump, and he went to the doctor, and it was cancer. So let's say Dave, you know, the doctor says, Dave, this is cancer, and they confirm it. They take the biopsy and they confirm it. And so Dave said, okay, what's next? And the man says, well, let me make another appointment with you. And so Dave says, okay, how about this day? And the man says, sure, let's get together on this day. And so Dave goes back to the doctor, and he sits down. And Dave is there to hear what the doctor is going to say about kicking the cancer and how to treat the cancer. And so Dave sits in the little office, or anybody that has cancer. It's already been diagnosed. You know you got it. It's in your body. You've already heard it, okay? And you go back for that second appointment or that third appointment, and you sit down, and the doctor walks in the little room, and he sits down in a chair across from you, and he says, okay, listen, I got something more to tell you. I want to tell you this. I want to tell you that you have cancer. And it's confirmed, and you have cancer. Okay? Okay. All right. See him at the desk out there, and they'll tell you how much the visit is on the way out. You can take care of it. What would you think? I made an appointment to come in here and maybe take off work and sit down for you to tell me something that I already know. You wouldn't be happy. And rightly so. And friend, God didn't send Jesus down to this earth just so Jesus could tell us that we're sinners and we're going to have to pay the penalty for our sin and be separated from God. That's kind of already inside of us if we're honest with ourselves. We kind of know that, and you've heard about it. No, God sent Jesus down here to tell us how to get out of that mess. And people, we are in a mess. I don't know if you understand what kind of a mess we are in. We are condemned because of our sin. Our destiny is hell, and we can't do anything to save ourselves. That's why God sent Jesus. That's why God gave Jesus. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus was buried. That's why Jesus rose again. Not to condemn us, but to save us from the penalty of sin. That's why God sent Jesus. And that's what the verse teaches there. Okay, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And God's reason for doing this was because He loved us. Wait a minute. He didn't just love us. He so loved us. So much that He wants us to get out of that mess, and He sent Jesus. Now, because Jesus was sent to save people out of the mess that we are in, any person in the world who will admit and confess that they are a sinner and realize that they can't work their way to heaven, they can't do anything themselves to get out of the mess, and turns to Jesus and trusts in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to save them, the result of that is they are born into the family of God, and they have everlasting life in heaven instead of living eternally separated from God in hell. That's an amazing story, isn't it? That's the greatest love story ever told. And it is such a great love story, God wants it told to the world. And folks, that makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? If the fact that God loved the world that much, He wants the world to know about that love. God wants the world to know that I sent my Son Jesus, my only begotten Son. I gave my Son so that you could be saved from the mess you're in. He died, He was buried, He rose again to pay your sin debt. I want the world to know that story. Tell the story. And tell it over and 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 keep telling it. And since 1969, that's been the main story of the ministry of Faith Baptist Church in this area. You say you've been in this area for that long, 44 years, and you kind of keep telling the same story over and over and over again. Yes, because folks, sometimes somebody hears it for the first time. Or they hear it for the second or third time, and the light comes on. And they realize, I'm not saved. I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't want to leave this world and spend eternity apart from God in a place called hell forever and ever and ever and ever. And yes, I've heard that Jesus died on a cross, but I have never been confronted with the fact that I need to personally receive Him by faith into my heart. And you know what? If you keep telling the story, somebody hears it, somebody believes it, and somebody gets saved, which is what God sent Jesus to do, to save us from our sin. Now, one of the ways that we tell this story and have told this story for years and years is by using those old church buses out there to pick people up all over this county and bring them in here so that they can hear the story. Sometimes parents work. Sometimes parents have responsibilities that they can't get out of and take their children to church. You know what we're glad to do? We're glad to bring an old bus by a house. And by the way, they're not so old. They are well maintained, and they pass two inspections every year. And we have guys that give hours, and I'm not just speaking evangelistically now. They give hours and hours and hours of personal time to make sure that those buses stay in good maintenance and good order. And they cost, and gas isn't cheap, and the insurance bill is, whoa. So you know why we do that? Because we'd like for all the children in the area to at least get a chance to hear the story one time. At least hear it one time. And then maybe if they get interested, jump on the bus and come back a second time. Maybe, Brother Larry, stand up. Maybe they stay. And back here, they stay. And over here, they stay. And they get so overwhelmed with the story of God's love, they just decide never to leave. That's why we do it. We're glad to do it. I don't know what we'd do without the bus ministry. I think it's the greatest tool, the greatest opportunity that we have as a local church to take the message. And yes, most of the time, it's boys and girls who come. Sometimes it's teenagers who come and they hear the story of Christ and they trust the Lord Jesus. And then once in a while, along the way, there are adults who come. And they get saved. Brother Rick just stood up here and sang. Brother Rick, stand up back here. Rick just stood up here and sang a moment ago. He didn't really sing. He just moved his lips, okay? Amen. So, thank you. I'm just teasing, Rick. Thank you. That guy right there is a blessing to me. And he and his sister rode the bus in. And then, as a result, got to go to the house and meet Dad and Mom. And Dad and Mom got saved. Or Dad got saved. Mom was already saved. And now Dad's over teaching while we're here. So sometimes the dads and the moms get saved because they hear the story, the greatest love story that there ever is. The greatest love story in the world. And so the adults come and they hear the story and they get saved. And say, why do you run those buses all over town? Sometimes I get asked that. Get all those buses out there. Why do you run those buses all over town? We have a story to tell. The greatest love story ever recorded. It's true. It involves God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's for every person in the world. No one is left out of this story. It's for the world. Listen to me, folks. I'm sure you are stunned like I am by the news out of the Philippines. It's devastating. Thousands dead. And that's horrible. But more horrible than their death is if they died without Christ, being separated from God now, forever and ever. That's why we run the buses. That's why we spend the money. That's why some people give the time and the energy. because this is the greatest story and the world needs to hear it. But now listen, it's for the world to hear. It's for the world to hear. Every person, again, red, brown, yellow, black, and white this morning. We got a little video clip of a little kid's choir singing in Antananarivo, Madagascar. About 15 little dark-skinned children and 3 white-skinned children. And 5, actually, the Jertbergs were there. The Jertbergs were there. And Ashley leading that song. Those little kids standing up there singing. In a church where there was no church 2 years ago. Because it's the greatest story. It's for the world. But listen to me. It has to be received individually. The world corporately can't receive salvation. It's for the world to hear. Tell it everywhere. Tell it everywhere. Take it everywhere that there's a living, breathing soul. I want the world to hear. The whole world. How much I love them. Love them so much that I sent my son to save them out of the mess they're in. And then it has to be, but it has to be received individually. Verse 16 says, "But whosoever, as individually, that whosoever believeth in him." Whosoever means anybody. It means you. It means any one of those little kids who was in this choir a little bit ago, standing up here singing about honk, honk, beep, beep, come on, ride the bus. Any one of those little children that has trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that story was for them. And that story is for you this morning. If you're a teenager, if you're a parent, if you're just here as a visitor, as a guest, whosoever is each individual who will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, one by one, by one, by one. Now listen, you don't want your child to be saved and go to heaven and spend eternity in heaven and you die without Christ and be separated from that forever from them. You don't want that. There's an old song, we don't sing it. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. Will the circle... there's a better world a-coming in the sky, Lord, in the sky. He's talking about the family circle. Are you in? Are you in? Are you saved? Well, I had a religious experience. So did Rick's dad. But I had a religious experience, and then I took the Bible and showed him some verses about salvation, some of which I'm showing you this morning, talking about this morning to you. And Rex admitted, yeah, I've had a religious experience, but I never had salvation. And he got saved. Are you saved? Are you saved? Okay? It's the greatest love story ever told. That God didn't just love the world. He so loved the world. And the world needs to hear it. And then one by one, individuals respond and say, yes, I want to be saved. May I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment this morning. Thank you so much for listening. I've been brief on purpose. But I do want to ask you something very, very important. Would you please be careful to listen? Your eyes are closed. Your head is bowed. But would you please put your attention up here? When I ask you the question, I want you to be as honest as you can be this morning. Just be honest before the Lord. If you can say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. Not some religious experience, not a church member, not I got baptized, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm born again into God's family. And I can give you a Bible reason for that, Pastor. If you can say that honestly this morning, all I'm asking you to do is be honest before God. If you can say that honestly, would you raise your hand? I know that I'm saved. Just be honest. Just be honest. That's all I'm asking. Thank you. You may take your hand down. Is there anybody here today who would say, Pastor, I was honest. I didn't raise my hand just then. I did not raise my hand with the others because I don't know for sure the question you asked about being sure about salvation in heaven. I don't know for sure. And I did not raise my hand with the others a moment ago. Would you raise your hand just now? Slip it up while I'm looking. I'm the only one looking from side to side. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Is there somebody else?
I shouldn't have been. Maybe you raised your hand and you shouldn't have. Maybe you just did it because you thought everybody else was. Say, I really shouldn't have raised my hand a moment ago, but I did. Or I didn't raise my hand. And I don't know that I'm saved. All right, thank you. Take your hand down. God bless you. Anybody else? I'm going to pray for this one in just a moment. Anybody else? I don't know that I'm saved. I didn't raise my hand, or I should. I did and I shouldn't have. I don't know that I'm saved. I'm not going to play around with this thing of eternal separation from God forever. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody else will raise their hand. Just go take a moment, give you time to think about it, because it's critical. Anybody? Okay. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking. You raised your hand just now. You don't know for sure that you're saved. You were honest about it. Would you look up at me just for a minute? God bless you. The most important thing in the world is knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven someday. I was like you, sat in a service about your age. Somebody took a Bible and showed me how to be saved. We have a man that can do that this morning. Why don't you come? Let us do that. That's great. Just come right now. That's wonderful. We'll get somebody, Brother Tom, here. Brother Tom Thomas and the song leader will show you. Right over here in the front row, Brother Tom. Very good. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. That's what we can do, folks. We can show you how to be saved. We can take a Bible, ladies for ladies, men for men, and show you how to be saved. Would you like to know that this morning? You can come too. You don't have to wait. You can come. Anybody that would like to come, balcony, lower floor, doesn't matter. Visitor, member, I'm not sure that I'm saved. We'd like for you to come find out the greatest love story ever told, the reality of it, salvation. All right, who's here today would say, Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized since I've been saved. I haven't followed the Lord and believers' baptism yet. Would you pray for me? Yes, I would if you'd raise your hand. Anybody like that here today and need to be baptized? Or maybe you want to join the church and you know you need to be baptized. If you are going to obey the Lord and believers' baptism, you came to do that this morning. Now's the time for you to come while we wait. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you can come and follow the Lord this morning, or you can talk to somebody about being baptized before you come, or after you come. All right. Anybody wants to know where our heads are bowed and eyes are closed? The greatest love story in all the world is that God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, and by trusting in what Jesus did, we can be saved. So whatever the need is this morning, if you need to be saved, if you need to join the church, and you've talked to one of us, you need to be baptized, you obey the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you for this person that's come. I pray that the Word of God would sink deep into the heart, and today might be the day of their salvation. Speak to our hearts this morning, please. For Christ's name I pray. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. It'd be a good time to come. We'll take a step out. We can show you from the Bible how to be saved. Come and obey the Lord in baptism. Join the church. Talk to us about it. You obey the Lord today while we wait. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking. It's a good time to deal with the Lord right now while we wait this morning.